Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. 97.1 FM Talk DGS. Happy Wednesday to everybody. For some reason, my big, big boss is here, and it would be quite ironic if she were here to fire me today. So, 19 years after going on the air. Hello,
yeah.
Becky.
Hello.
How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah.
Actually, I thought you guys were bringing in me in here today to celebrate Boss's Day, right?
Right.
We baked you a cake.
Sorry, happy anniversary.
We baked you a cake and we have bourbon for you. And,
bourbon. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Dave, 19 years is an amazing accomplishment. It really is unprecedented. You know, if you think about what was going on in our world 19 years ago, That's a long time.
It's not only a long time. What we're talking about, in case you guys are like, what's going on today, October 16th, is literally 19 years ago this minute.
Yeah,
I went on the air for the very first time, couldn't get a BB up my butt, just so terrified, and doing a legal call-in show.
Yeah.
19 years ago, and here we are. But not only is it a really long career in radio, we all know that, but what a time. From the year 2000 till now, how much the world has changed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I don't want to be overly dramatic, but 97.1 has changed with it and covered it. I remember watching them pull down the Saddam Hussein statue with John Beck, and I'm, you know, just like things like that. You know, like being on the air on 9/11, watching that, just so many things that have happened that we've been here to cover it and be a part of it. Sean Hornbeck, we're on the air when that happened, just like
presidential election.
Presidential election. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. It's unbelievable.
It is. And so the station has an amazing story. And there are, of course, other very unique stories about how people got into the media and the radio and stuff, but I will put your story up against anybody's as far as just lightning in a bottle and just how this the amazing amount of coincidences and right place, right time for you to even be in the building at the right time and a brand new station just get putting on that doesn't know who the staff is going to be. And
yeah,
I mean, for your first gig to be afternoon drive
in the top 20 market. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that doesn't happen.
No.
With no experience and then, you know, just the way it all fell into place perfectly.
Yeah.
And then obviously how you have taken the ball and ran with it and created, I think the best talk show in the history of the market is incredible.
And
it's an awesome story.
We kind of built the whole station around that, you know, I had never been on the air. And so then they brought in Jamie, who had never been on the air, and Dana, who had never been on the air, and Annie, who had never been on the air, and Mark, never been on the radio.
Right.
So at 97.1, although we have like the syndicated shows and the pros, like, we are pretty much made up of people who have no business being here, which is really cool.
That's what makes it great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
It is cool.
And think about, you know, 19 years in our business and what the brand was then and what the brand is now.
Oh, my God.
And I just really commend your adaptability and your tenacity, because a lot of people can't do that. You know, you've really done a great job evolving with the station and what's happening in our community and our environment. And I just think that's outstanding.
Thank you. Because
a lot of people can't do that, as Tony was talking about. Yeah. That's really something that you don't find every day.
I remember probably 2 years in, because when we started, we were just a talk station. We were like the second FM talk station in the country.
Yep.
And it was Bob and Sherry in the morning, who were like Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry on SNL.
Yep.
It's terrible. And Dr. Laura and Clark Howard, who was a consumer advocate.
Yep.
And then me, and then Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry after you, yep.
And I remember my very first phone call So I'm in a room by myself with no technology. I can't control anything.
Right.
And producer Tom Turbrock was out there talking to somebody.
Yep.
And because we had Dr. Laura on, she was controversial because of her stance against gay marriage. So my very first topic was gay marriage. And the phone rings. Oh my God, can't believe the phone's ringing. And I have my very first caller. It's about right now, 19 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a dump button. I didn't have anything. And the guy proceeds in the most graphic sexual detail possible, using the most dirty words
mm-hmm.
possible, starts as a prank talking about homosexuality. And it's my very first call as a talk show host. I'm trying to take it seriously. And he's basically asking, like, which guy you want to be. And I'm looking out there at Tom, who's holding court with someone talking about toaster ravioli.
Yep.
And this guy just is going on and on and on and on. There's lots of F-bombs, the whole bit. It's my first 5 minutes on the air. And then I see Tom go, and he runs and he dumps it. But that was literally...
But way late.
He got that last one.
That was literally the first thing that happened on the Dave Glover show.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And fitting.
And fitting.
And didn't it launch as a female talk brand?
No, like that was
no, that was
that
later.
That was 2 years
was it
in.
Later?
That was later.
Okay.
Yeah.
2 years in. Jeff Allen came to me and said, okay, we're changing everything. We're going to be female talk. No one's ever done it.
Okay.
And I said, okay, what is that? And
he what does
goes,
it mean?
He goes, I have no idea.
Right.
And I said, what should I do? And he goes, don't change a thing.
Great.
There was just like, okay.
Yeah.
I really feel like the old man in Up that has the house and then the city builds around him, because like it was just me and Bob and Sherry, and then it was female talk,
mm-hmm.
and then we started going political and
The Link. 97.1 The Link.
It's just I can't mm-hmm. even fathom all the people that have come and gone mm-hmm. and even on this show,
mm-hmm.
all the people who have come and gone.
Yeah, you really need to sit down someday and try to write out everyone who's ever been a cast member.
Yeah.
Because even today, we'll get to talking about something and you'll go, oh yeah, she was on the show for 6 months. Well, there's
right.
been so many players in and out over the years.
At the 10th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
we brought back as many people as we could that had been cast members. Regulars on the show.
Yeah. And
maybe not necessarily cast members, but regular guests. And it filled an entire stage.
Yeah.
And that was after 10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now after 19, going on 20 years, I can't even, I mean.
It's got to be 60.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's going to, yeah. It's
and I wanted to thank everybody, but I know that I'll leave someone out. So obviously you've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Even though you weren't officially part of the show.
Yeah. A regular
you
guest.
Were this like 22-year-old kid walking around the hallways, and I just grabbed you. And
I was the first, what is now like what Tim Convey does,
yes.
and Trish Gazelle, the first sister station,
yes.
on air person
crossover hit.
Yes,
that I would because I was doing not at when you started here, I had just moved off the point. Actually, I was doing both. I was doing I was on the point and on 104.1 The Mall.
Yeah,
which the studio was right across the hall from 97.1. And you started pulling me into the studio in the very first year, and I became a regular guest. And
which is kind of what made this show cool from the beginning, is I just would grab anybody.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, people like to do it. I mean, we would have Corcoran on all the time and Radio Ridge.
Well, because for some reason, it was like taboo back then. Even for sister stations, you never crossed.
It was a rule.
Yeah, you never brought another on-air talent from another station in, and you were like really the first one to do that. And for people like me at the time, and now people like Tim and Trish and other people that have done it, it was really cool. It was an opportunity to go on and talk on another radio station, and you know, and get to do stuff that you weren't necessarily doing on your station. So for us, for the FM radio DJs, it was a really cool opportunity, and it was so different back then. I just said that when I first started on The Mall and was still doing air shifts on The Point, they wanted me to use two different names because it was like a taboo to be on multiple radio stations as the same person.
Yeah.
And now it's ridiculous to think about that, but that's the way it was back then.
Well, they're probably a good 100 people that have really, really made contributions to the show. But I definitely need to thank Tony and Ray, who 3 years ago kind of reinvigorated and helped me reinvent the show. And then I definitely need to thank Katie Cruz and Mark Close and most of all Tom. Because without, I said this at the event we did for Jill and meant every word, that without producer Tom, I'm not here. Like, I don't make it 1 year, much less 19 years.
Yeah.
So for all of you out there who love Tom and miss him, like, I give Tom all the credit in the world for getting me through those first few years. And then just such a solid, you know, on-air partner.
So. No, unbelievable. Yeah.
Now we're officially in our 20th year, right?
Yeah.
When's the party?
We're planning on it, man. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was throwing around ideas earlier today, and Dave's like, oh, we got a whole year to plan. Just relax.
Think about that. Yeah. Think about that. You're talking about how 19 years ago at this moment, what was happening? 1 year from right now at this moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where are we going to be? What are we going to be doing?
Oh, we're going to be into the election.
Yeah. But we're going to be somewhere doing something really cool.
Really cool.
Yeah. Something really amazing that we'll be able to share with everybody.
I actually got together a couple things that were happening 19 years ago today.
Oh, nice.
So it was a Monday. It was 6,939 days ago. Whew. Bill Clinton was president. Thought this was kind of neat. The New York Mets beat the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League Championship 4-1. So Cardinals were in the playoffs again. And the number one song on October 16th, 2000 was Come On Over Baby by Christina Aguilera, which, as we all know, is Dave's favorite song ever.
Yes, that's what I started the first show with.
Kind of crazy that it happened like that.
Yeah, I remember I was about to go on the air and I had my friend John Ware with me. And I said to Jeff Allen, my boss, I need John just to be in there with me so I have someone to look at. And Jeff's like, no, that's not really how it works. I'm like, I need him. And so Jeff's like, okay. And so I'm sitting in the room and John's sitting on the couch looking at me and the red on-air light goes on. And I really thought to myself, there's no one here big enough or fast enough to stop me if I just leave.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm out.
Yeah. This was a terrible mistake.
Yeah,
it's going to be embarrassing.
Focus on law now.
Yeah, I've really realized how much I love being a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave.
Like, when did you stop practicing law? Because I know you did it
my
the first
second year.
Okay.
No, I mean my second year being a lawyer. I did both for about a year.
Okay.
I mean, that was the thing is that I started out making no money. I was paying off a debt. I owed like $10,000 on advertising. Mm-hmm. And I went to the boss back then, and after about 6 months, and said, look, if you'll wipe out the rest of my debt and pay me $100 a day, then I'll stop being a lawyer, and I'll just do this. And he's like, well, whatever, fine. okay with me. Yeah. So that's how it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Which, again, going back to how no way that you could start like that today.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, Becky, you couldn't hire somebody to say, like, well, we'll hire you to and put you on the air to pay off the debt that you owe us.
Oh,
We're not even going to pay you. You're
going to
pay
principles.
Off our debt. Yeah.
What's funny, too.
Yeah. There's no way.
We have, I'm pretty sure that even people who've been in the business longer than me, I think we've done more live endorsements than anyone has ever done.
Have to have.
And I remember specifically, because back then, John Beck and Joe Rush were co-GMs, and Joe was my boss. And I went to him and said, I want to start doing live endorsements, because that's how I got into this, is I was doing live endorsements, like with Stephen DC and Corcoran and those guys. And he goes, I don't know. I don't hear it. I don't know if you can do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just let me try a couple. And he's like, okay, I'm going to limit you to like one a day. And I'm like, okay. And so here we are 19 years.
He's done more than anybody.
And like 100,000 lives since then. So, well, thanks for coming in, Beck.
Thank you.
Very nice of you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very
Big
much.
Big accomplishment.
Thank you. Welcome back, guys. 327 DGS. Celebrating 19 years of 97.1 and the DGS. And thank you mostly to all of you guys. I can't tell you how many people I run into out there just in the world who have supported the station and supported the show and completely changed my life. And I hear so many people who've been around since the beginning. And the beginning was so rough. I can't listen to it. It was just so terrible. And it's a miracle we're here. And I literally hope I do another 20 years. I mean, what am I going to do? sit around. So I hope I'm a part of your life for a really long time to come. And I mean, just think about it. I mean, Nick was five. Phoebe did not exist. Hmm. Just all these things. Rach was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
Tony was like 20. I mean, just like, it's a lot of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of life that we've all lived together and mm-hmm. been through, you know, literal wars and you literally can't wrap your mind around it.
And it's so funny about your audience, because there are casual fans, there are people who are like, oh yeah, I love that show, I love Dave, and then there are people who love Dave, and we see it every time we go out, and every time there's a live show, anytime there's a remote. It's really incredible the impact that you've had and the loyalty of your fans over the years.
I think the only really smart thing I did was just, and this was kind of based on some advice I got from Glenn Beck back in the early days when he and I spent a lot of time together. And he said, look, never try to pretend, never try to be something you're not, because 3 or 4 hours a day, it's impossible. 5 days a week, people will see through it. And they always do. And there are obviously parts of my life that I haven't shared because I'm a human being and, you know, other people are involved. But for the most part, it has been an absolute godsend to me and such a wonderful thing to be able to be so open and so honest and so vulnerable, to talk about my flaws and my challenges and my literal mental illnesses and anxieties and codependencies and challenges. And people will give me credit, like, oh my gosh, you're so brave for talking about that. If I were working at Schnucks, I wouldn't talk about it. I'm not inherently a brave person. It's just that given this forum, I had to make a decision. And I decided to try to be as honest as I could. And that has helped a lot of you. It's helped me a million times more. So the fact that you guys have been so cool about it has made a world of difference in my life.
Well, and you just said that there's obviously been a few things that you've had to hold back on because of, you know, super personal or other people.
Yeah, we're
involved.
All humans.
But I will vouch that that's probably 10% that you, I mean, literally 90% of your life has been shared with the listeners of this show, I think.
So, much to the dismay of my kids. Hello, Amir. Thanks for calling in, my friend.
Congratulations, team. Congratulations, Dave.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Amir.
Wow, it's been a great ride, hasn't it? And I hope you do stay for 20 more years, man.
Thank you, pal. Really appreciate
it. I remember when I came to St. Louis back in like 2002 on recruiting duty, and I heard your show for the first time. You were still talking about free legal, and, you know, no offense, it was kind of like a train wreck, man.
It was a lot like a train wreck.
But it was entertaining because, you know, it was a good advice. I was like, oh, you know, maybe I want to get familiar with some of this stuff. You know, I lived isolated, you know, in the military law, but now I'm in the community. And then, you know, you guys, I think it was guys from The Point that crashed your show once when they yelled out at one of your guests, and I was listening to Point because I'm a big rock fan, and I'm like, oh my god, they're crashing somebody else's show. And then I started listening to your show more and more, and it was like being with friends around barbecue pit, you know, just a garden variety stuff, from silly jokes to serious stuff. And, you know, and I grew and matured over the time. And your show kind of kept me motivated when I was overseas, because it was my touch with home.
That's cool.
You know, I adopted St. Louis as my home, and you were like the taste of it. So whether I was in Germany or Afghanistan, Iraq, wherever, you know, I could always count on that podcast and kind of hear what's going on in St. Louis and hear a little bit of silliness from you and you know, all of your teammates. And, you know, God, you know, what a great ride. And, you know, you've been one of the guys, the whole team has been, that always walked the walk. When you supported something, you made it happen. I cannot thank you enough for improving that USO, that not just me, but my family, my friends. What you've done at that USO and at Lambert is just absolutely amazing. And that's just, you know, that's just a drop in the bucket, what you've done here for the veteran community. So thanks for what you've been doing these past two decades, and I hope we continue being with you for the next two decades, like you said.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I consider him your brother. Yeah, that's something else that I need to deflect some credit for, is that by far the greatest thing that's happened to me during this 19 years is my relationship with the military. And they've adopted me, especially the Marine Corps, inducted me into the Marine Corps League. And when Bulger and I did the USO back in, 2008, 2009, and rededicated it to Rocky Sickman, those are things that you guys did. Like, I put in a little of my own money, but it's mostly saying, hey, here's a need. And then you guys show up. We raised $400,000 in one night, which you couldn't do anymore.
Right.
I couldn't do anymore. But it was before the big meltdown. And you guys came out and we raised 400 grand in one night. And it turned out we needed 500 grand. And Bulger and I are sitting at breakfast. We just found out. And I'm planning the next event. And I hear a check rip. And Bulger had written a check for 100 grand.
Yep.
And he goes, I'm not going through this again.
We're done. Yep, we're there.
And he's like, we got it. Let's go.
Yep. Amazing.
So, yeah.
Amazing. I mean, and now that USO is like, it's the number one in the world.
No, we keep winning the number one in the world.
Yep.
Yeah. But, I mean, you've seen it. And, Rach, you've seen it. Like, when have we ever, whether it was, we need $2,500 right now for a show sit-in and go to dinner with me at Capitol Grill, or last year for the Operation Food Surge, we need 75 grand. When has our listenership ever not done it?
I know. It's incredible.
It's incredible. Like, we've never not done it. Just nuts.
I know. It really is. Man, that USO, that really was one of the coolest. And there was a lot. Ooh, there was a lot that went into that. That's where the Best Of CD came from, was the USO renovation.
Which we'll be playing a couple of clips off of at the end of the show tonight.
Yeah.
So
perfect day for it.
Yeah, perfect day for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you. No. Thank you for the cake, Rach.
Congratulations.
You're very welcome.
That's like, wow.
I'm glad it worked out.
Is that your first carb in a while?
Yeah, my first weekday carb in a while.
Yeah.
So I've been doing the weekends. I've been eating whatever, and then during the weekdays I've been sticking to the Atkins, and that's kind of what you're supposed to do when you get to kind of your
maintenance. Yeah.
Yeah, your comfort
level.
Do
you want to talk about what's been going on in your life? You want to keep that personal?
Oh, no, we can. I didn't know if I
mentioned that you were out for a funeral.
I kind of assumed that maybe you had mentioned it. Yeah, we've had, it's been a tough week. We've had a couple of deaths in our family. My grandma passed away. My wife's grandfather passed away over the last weekend, and we've had a lot of visitations and funerals and that kind of stuff that we've been going through this week. So it's been so that's why I was out the last couple of days, because I had to take care of that stuff. So
and
now I'm back.
Next week you get to go to
next
Disney.
Week we're going to Disney World, baby. So yeah, it's we all need a break right now after this week. So I don't know if it's terrible timing or good timing, but I know that we need it.
Yeah.
So,
does James get to go this time?
Yeah. James is in.
He had to stay home last time,
right?
He had
to stay home.
He's too little of a baby.
He was too little, and maybe he still is too little. We'll find out in a few days. But we have a plan.
Does he have a concept of it?
Yeah. Like, we've been watching lots of Disney World videos.
Yeah.
And, you know, his thing is dinosaurs. That's his, like, everything is dinosaurs. And Animal Kingdom at Disney World has a whole, like, Dinoland USA section. So we've been watching like videos about that, and every time I put on a video about Dinoland USA, he looks at me and he says, he goes, "You're taking me there? You're gonna take me there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, buddy, I'm gonna take you there. Take me there.
That's so cool.
I'm gonna take you there, bud." And so yeah, he's ready. He's ready. We're all ready. So it's gonna be good.
I went one time as a kid when I was 10, and I remember I ran home like. Back then in South Texas, your mom and dad would just yell, David,
Sure.
And so it was the middle of the day, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. And my friend Stacy and I went running back, and my mom and dad were all smiles and told me that we were going to Disney World. And it was just like,
yeah,
seemed impossible.
Right.
Like that, this can't be real.
Yeah. You need to be careful if you go again, because you're like me. If you like it as much as I like it, you're going to be like, well,
I could live at
this
Epcot.
This is now a thing that I have to do all the time.
No, I could absolutely live at Epcot.
It's
need to take Phoebe again. It, gosh, I don't even remember, but it's been like 5 years probably. So definitely need to get Phoebe back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're just like, we have to go as much as we can.
By the way, people are calling in to say congratulations on our 19th anniversary. Thank you very much. If you would, I would love it. I would consider it a personal honor if you would go to Twitter and share your favorite moments.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be necessarily hilarious ones.
Right.
Just anything from the past 19 years that meant something to you, people that have been on the show, that would be really, really cool.
Send those to Rachel and I, and I will speak for Rachel and say that we will retweet those and share them so everybody can see them. So at TonyColombo971. At RachelZ971, send us your memories for the last 19 years, and we'll share them with Dave and everybody else.
345 DGS. Tomorrow evening, I will be at the Cyberg's Mid Rivers Mall, which is where the old Joe's Crab Shack used to be, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and I'm there with Brown Sugar Bourbon. Everyone who comes by and mentions the show gets a free cocktail. I'll be easy to find. Just come on by. It's real laid back, real casual. Just have a drink with me. Another thing I'm proud of, this is the 19th anniversary of the DGS and 97.1 in general, is how many careers have been launched through the show. A lot of people making their living in media who got their start here. But there's one that I'm most proud of, and he's in the studio right now. It's Mr. Crip Steak'em.
You were going good there to the end. You're I was like, who are you talking about?
You're like tearing up.
I did. And I can tell you it's really my contact, right? Contact kind of bothered me. So. But happy anniversary, man.
Thank you, man.
19 years in radio is incredible. You. I remember listening to you back in the day when I was much younger and had hair, and I was like, wow, this guy is funny, and he's mixes in politics with it.
You've been on the air 19 years, not 90 years.
19 years? 90? 19 years, sorry. I'm trying to advance
and you. And you were saying that when you started your political career and you got a call to be on Jamie's show, and you're so excited, and now you're hosting shows.
Yeah, it was so weird. It was 2005, and we were starting a national organization, and I reached out to Jamie, and he was like, hey, would you like to come on, talk about this on the show? And I was, like, super excited. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be on the morning show, and I've never done anything like this before. I'm going to say something stupid. And then you look forward, like we were saying, you know, before we came on air, how things change, and now I'm here regularly doing stuff, contributing, and host every now and again. I would never have thought that in a million years. And you were right. I mean, this station has launched so many people doing things. And, you know, I asked Jeff one time what was the secret for 97.1, and he said that a lot of the personalities don't have a radio background. And yeah. I think that's what makes it work.
Yeah, that was his big approach. So what did you think last night? Did you watch much of it?
I watched about as much as I could stand.
Yeah.
I tell you, I got a little different take on it than what most people are saying. I think the big winners last night were Joe Biden and the Democratic establishment. And the reason that I say Joe Biden is because now Elizabeth Warren is perceived as the front runner. So she took a lot of the flack and the arrows, and he could kind of sit back and stumble and fumble a little bit. But the onus was on her. And I think the Democratic establishment were big winners. You know, Joe Biden is supposed to be the moderate in the Democratic Party. And the Democratic establishment knows that Bernie and Elizabeth with their give everybody everything tactics is not going to sell to the American people. So you saw the moderates kind of Tulsi Gabbard, Buttigieg, all of them saying, we can't afford Medicare for all. We can't afford
was organic, or do you think the DNC said to the quote unquote moderates, go get her?
No, I think it's the people realizing that in these early debates and everybody's trying to jockey for position, they're going to be the pander bears and want to give everything away. But I think the president and the Republicans have been very successful as painting the Republicans or Democrats as one to raise taxes and aren't good for the economy. So I think they realize now we got to rein some of this in. Plus, I think it's an advantage for these other candidates because Elizabeth Warren, they're asking her, how are you going to pay for Medicare for all? And she's slippery and slides all around it and doesn't give an answer.
Rach, you made an interesting point earlier today when we were talking. You watched it last night and you said that you were impressed in a negative way with how easily rattled Warren got.
She was getting rattled with Buttigieg and with Andrew Yang. Like, they were really flustering her. You can see when something's not going her way, she'll go, and she's kind of scrambling to compose herself. I just wonder, how does that hold up on a debate stage when your opponent is Donald Trump? If those two rattle you, what is Donald Trump going to be able to do?
When he's calling you Pocahontas.
Exactly.
And I think if Elizabeth Warren becomes the nominee and it gets to the point where she is debating Donald Trump in the fall, I think by that time, all the details of her plan of how she's going to pay for this stuff is going to be out. So she's going to be attacked relentlessly on that. Mm-hmm. Right now, she's been able to get away with platitudes. We can do this and that for you. But she isn't having to give any details. That's why she's flustered, because she doesn't really have any details or doesn't want to give them.
And it was so clear because five or six of them ask her the same thing. And she just kept saying, I have studied this my whole life. It's like, I don't care how long you've studied it.
It's still not an answer.
Yeah. It was also interesting to see Klobuchar go after her so hard.
I thought she had a good night.
Which I thought she did too. And from the beginning, it's been like, well, us ladies and the Democratic nominees are going to have each other's backs. And I think that's going out the window. The girl power is starting to break down a little bit.
And you got to look at all the moderates, really. Klobuchar, Midwestern, Buttigieg, whatever you think of him, came across as kind of a moderate when he was talking to Beto about confiscating guns.
Beto
when he talked about when we talked about the church and state, talking about that. So you saw a lot of moderation from the Democrats this debate. And like I said, even though Biden didn't have a particularly strong debate, I think that moderation helps him in the long run.
Well, to your point, I noticed today a couple different headlines in normally pretty liberal media outlets after this debate saying that for the first time, some of these outlets admitting that with this crop of candidates, Donald Trump's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah.
Like the person to beat Donald Trump doesn't seem to be in this group.
Yeah.
And they definitely aren't on. And Chris, you've said this many times that the country is not ready for Elizabeth. If Elizabeth Warren is the nominee, that's a dream matchup for Donald Trump. If it's one of the more extreme candidates.
I would like to try this experiment. In the next debate, I would like to replace Joe Biden with Jeff Dunham's old man puppet. And every time they ask him something, he just turns around and scowls at him. I'll bet you the next day they're like, Joe Biden had the debate of his life. He put people in their place. No gaffes. He could not look more like Jeff Dunham's old man puppet. Yeah, what's his name? Walter?
Walter, I think, yeah.
Chris, what do you think happened to Kamala Harris? Why did she have such a rock star first debate, and now she just seems to be floundering every time she's on TV?
I think the one thing about Kamala is she got painted as a flip-flopper early. She was for Medicare for All, and then she wasn't for Medicare for All. There was another issue that she flip-flopped on. But I think the one thing that has really kind of lowered her numbers is when she was a prosecutor, so there were some things, allegations came out that she didn't give all the evidence to the defense. She was hard prosecuting marijuana, people that were convicted of marijuana. So with the woke crowd and the civil justice, criminal justice crowd, that's not flying with them. Plus, what I've heard too, even though she is of mixed heritage and she's half African American, a lot of black people are feeling that, hey, you didn't identify as African American or black to you were running for president and it was a benefit to you, but there are tapes and videos of her saying she's an Indian American, not an African American. So I think she's had some issues with that. That's why she hasn't gained much traction.
Gotcha. Cory Booker makes me laugh. Every time they go to Cory Booker, who couldn't look more like a finger came alive. And he's just like, this is so crazy. It is like Spider-Man. Like everything, he didn't say anything real. He just kept talking about how crazy
he writes them all down. He writes them all down before. I'm convinced he's got all his little zingers.
Yeah.
He just
his little, like, this will be the sound bite that gets me attention.
I don't agree with a word that comes out of Bernie Sanders' mouth, but he still seems like the only one on stage that doesn't have to think about his answer.
Yeah.
He knows what he believes.
Yes.
He knows why he believes
it. Yes.
He says it angrily.
He's the most sincere person up there.
You saw a huge
He's wrong, but he's sincere.
You saw a huge contrast last night. You saw both candidates, Bernie and Elizabeth, that were for Medicare for All, but you had one candidate that was hedging and wouldn't tell how she was going to pay for it.
Yeah.
And Bernie said, yeah, I'm going to raise your taxes.
Everybody's.
But what's going to offset it is you're not going to pay any premiums.
Yep.
Trust us. We run the post office. We can run your health care.
Thank you.
Is basically what he's saying.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.